Hello, footy fans. Welcome to the In The Clear NRL podcast for round four. Wow, three rounds are done already in the books. It's another big week, another big round coming up. We got joined by Matthew Lawrence again. Matthew, welcome.
Glory, glory.
Glory, glory. Big win for your Bunnies.
Absolutely,
on the weekend.
Mate. Sensational.
It's always good to get off the mark to start
time.
The season.
About time.
We're going to duck straight into probably, you know, something that's been the elephant in the room for the first three rounds, and that's refereeing to start the season. Matthew, tell me about referees.
Chris, talk about a shambolic affair. It is disgraceful. I mean, look, to see a game decided first and foremost at the blow of a whistle is bad enough, but to watch every bloody game and see refereeing and hear the whistle so often, I mean, come on, man. Look, I love the fact that league's back and I couldn't wait for the season to start, but I'll tell you something now, watching some of these games is absolutely painful.
No, I pride myself on watching every game every year, but there's been 24 games start of the season. There's probably been one good game, and that's maybe, like, it's so hard to get. Like, the Melbourne Cowboys game on the weekend, it's supposed to be, you know, team one versus team two, something that's going to be really good. The games are stopped. Like, there's just the penalty after penalty after penalty. The fans are sick of it. I think they've tried to crack down, and who does the onus go on? Does the onus go on the players to fix it?
Yep.
Or does the referees to stop blowing it? It's, I don't know. I think the referees just going to keep blowing penalties.
Well, you know, I mean, I hate to quote the other media, but look, I heard Gus Gill say, and I've got to agree with him 100%. He articulated what I was thinking. It's a case where basically, if you were a traffic cop, you're finding people for doing 61 in a 60 zone. This is the stupidity of it. You're talking about people that are perhaps one fraction of a centimetre offside. They're blowing their whistles.
Yeah.
Some of these play the ball indiscretions. It's ridiculous. And as for the holding down, you're seeing penalties for that. Have some consistency at least. I mean, that's always an argument. But it seems to me, I mean, some of the games that you've seen, there's a formula appearing that I'm seeing more and more. It seemed that you can't let the team get too far ahead without starting to blow that whistle for the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me for being cynical, but it really seems to be that case.
It just seems the fact that they just want to blow a penalty. If there's something, you know, if they go to video, if it's all, they're always offside. Everyone's offside. Like, you can blow a penalty. You can find penalties. And we don't want to run the risk of turning into rugby union because, there was the Tigers game. Yeah, Brisbane won by not scoring a try.
Yeah, like, that's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And that one decision, you know, mark is not square. The fact that they were square, like, is irrelevant because there would have been several other cases exact same throughout the game. They didn't blow and they decided to blow it there. I think they've just scored it the wrong way. But they've gone the completely wrong way.
How flat was that, Chris?
No.
I mean, it was a good game.
Tigers fans would have been seething.
I tell you what, mate, I wouldn't blame any of those fans if they didn't turn up again. That's a disgrace.
The games are just hard to watch. The players that you're expecting to do things, bar a couple of teams, the St. George game on the weekend, you know, where they showed their skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very hard because the teams aren't getting tired because every second minute there's a penalty.
Exactly.
So a penalty, kick off, waste 30 seconds, another thing, waste 30 seconds. And they were supposed to, you know, increase play in time this year by calling time off.
Sure.
It's just painful to watch. You know, there was a game there where I just turned it off after, you know, with about 10 minutes to go for half time, I said, I just can't handle this. But then I come to my senses and watch the second half. But the games are just so slow. And it's just, you know, I think something's going to have to give because either the referee's going to keep blowing penalties and the teams are just going to have to start. I think the team's just going to have to start, you know, playing by the rules.
Well, I think
something needs to be get done in the... I think in the team's giving away the penalties in their when they're defending their try line.
Mm.
Something needs to get done around that area. I think
that's a definite tactic now.
It's definitely a tactic. Melbourne use it a lot. But it needs, you know, when if you're sending someone to the sim in for 10 minutes, that's a big penalty for losing that. But yeah, I heard someone say the other day is that, you know, a power play situation, whereas if you keep giving away penalties, you lose a player for a set of six or two set of sixes, just an incentive, you know, disincentive to try and stop those. Because, yeah, as I said, once they get to the try line, Melbourne are just, you know, holding down.
Absolutely.
Holding down. Not just Melbourne, I'll be always saying Melbourne. But
no, they're all having a go at it, Chris. Yeah. I think it's a definite tactic, obviously, because they know the whistle's going to be blown. But I mean, look, I'd argue that a good referee to me is like that sort of old proverbial kid, should be seen perhaps but not heard so often. I think this is the problem. We're getting, I think there's a, I mean, I don't want to, you know, be too harsh maybe, but It just seems like some of these guys are really getting off on blowing that bloody whistle.
They're very, the referees are very lucky for the Australian cricket team. Otherwise, it could be a lot more, a lot more coverage. It's because the game, I don't know, the game, it just hasn't hit any heights to start the season. No. The games have just been flat. They've been slow. The players don't like it. The fans don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's, I've been so underwhelmed by the start of the season. It's not funny. And I, we talk about, games getting better. Like the first few rounds have been scrappy usually and the game's getting better. But between round one and three, there's been no improvement. There's been zero improvement in the quality in games. And I think, there's a few teams that have stood out. Warriors and St. George, obviously undefeated.
Definitely.
But, I think there's we're not really quite sure. I'm not sure what team's better than who, because all comes down to who gets to run on the green with momentum and who's playing the ball quicker, who gets the penalties. Right. And it just, I don't know, it just seems a strange old set way to start the season. Hopefully it starts to improve. Easter time hopefully brings some rebirth of the footy,
you'd have to hope so, absolutely.
Well, so heading into round four, it's a bit of a weird round this week because it starts on Thursday, ends on Monday, with Easter Monday. First game, we'll start getting through the games. We'll give our tips, North Queensland versus Penrith at 1300 Smiles Stadium. Matthew,
look, how do you say this one? I think it'll be the Cowboys, mate. I just think, in North Queensland, they've got a great gig going up there, and I can't see them being done by the Panthers.
I can't see how they're going to lose any more than one or two games up there this year. It's just a hard place to go and win, especially at this time of year when it's still a bit hot, humid. And no Nathan Cleary for Penrith, the massive blow
for them, mate.
And 10 weeks for him to be out. That could set their season back a long way. James Malone is obviously moved to half back this week, which is good. But Cowboys are 1-2 to start the season, so they'll be primed to win this. They weren't too bad against Melbourne. They're still finding their feet with Thurston, and Morgan's still finding his feet. They'll be a lot better. Cohen Hess is a beast. He was unbelievable last week. I can't say Cowboys. I think it's my best bet of the week, the Cowboys against Penrith.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The annual Good Friday showdown, Friday, 4 p.m., South Sydney versus Canterbury. Matthew, your Rabbitohs back it up?
The only thing that concerns me, mate, traditionally we are the Easter Bunnies, and I hate to say it, but it's a clash that always worries me.
They're always good games.
They're great games. They are always good games. But I'm going to back the Bunnies. I'm going to back the Bunnies, and I think it'll be for the first time this year.
Well, two last start winners. The Bulldogs are really good last week.
They were.
By fullback showed some. His move has been outstanding. They've got talent. Both teams have got talent that's untapped. Especially in the forwards. The forward battle is going to be a good one. The Burgess boys up against Woods and Clemmer.
Well, I was going to say, mate, I think if you look at the combined Burgeye effort from last week, mate, they're just ridiculously strong. And if they can keep the handling on song, they proved last week. I mean, they pave the way for the backs.
Yeah, that's right. And Alex Johnson, Cody Walker, even without Adam Reynolds, they're still really well. And Inglis, slowly getting there. And it's good that he doesn't have all the pressure of him. He can just come back at his own pace.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Souths too. I'm tipping Souths there. The second game on Friday night, Cronulla versus Melbourne. These games are always dour, close, scrappy affairs at the Shire. I'm tipping Melbourne. For me, Melbourne haven't hit the heights they had last year. They've still got so much class across the field. But again, Cameron Smith at hooker. That name just stands out all the time. And Brody Croft hasn't, he's been solid without being great. Munster's had a couple of good games. Slater's back. For me, Cronulla are just missing something. I can't put my finger on what it is. Dugan back at fullback. Moylan's back this week at 5'8". That will strengthen them up. And Luke Lewis comes back, which is a big plus.
I was going to say, Chris, it's for that reason. I'm going the Sharkies.
Yeah, I said.
I mean, it is going to be a tough one.
And they usually have they're really close games usually.
Absolutely, and I think they do. They rise to these sort of matches. And this is where they tend to frustrate me, the Sharks, because they will. They'll put on a blinder against a side against a tough side. And then they'll put in a mongrel against someone you'd expect they should
And they've had that since they've won the comp. They haven't had that. Last year they weren't consistent at all. And I think their first three rounds were average. They've had one win against Parramatta, who have been well below par. So taking that form line into it, I think Melbourne should win. But as you said, Kiranala seem to lift for the big games. And it's a big game for them, even though it's only round four, just to see where they are and see how far they are behind. Because Melbourne is still the benchmark. So
absolutely.
I think if they want to consider themselves premiership contenders this year, they need to, you know, they may not have to win, but they need to show something. And I think they're just missing something. I don't know, can't put what it is, but I think they'll live for this game. The first game on Saturday at Allianz, Roosters versus New Zealand Warriors at 5:30.
Well,
who would have thought this would have been a bottler?
What a cracker.
Game of the round, the Warriors. What do you say? They've shown their attacking skills in the first 2 weeks, but last week they showed, I don't know, some heart.
Absolutely.
I don't know where they found it, but they found some heart and they never gave up last week. Sean Johnson, didn't have a great game, but he stood up when it counted. Warriors been on fire, man.
Look, I think the thing you got to remember with the Warriors, think about who they've played so far, though. Okay, if you have a look at it, I mean, they clashed with the Rabbits, who were grossly out of form.
No, they played the Titans.
Played the Titans, and then last week, they've gone up against the Raiders.
Yeah.
This is their first big clash.
Correct, yeah. It's a big test.
It's a massive test, mate. And to be honest, taking on your blokes in your home ground, I don't know.
The Roosters looked a million times better than what they did.
They did, absolutely.
And Cooper Cronk, we'll talk about him last week at the big three.
Yeah.
He stood up. Him and Keary have just made...
Keary's your bloke.
Keary is the thing that holds them all together. The scary thing is for the competition is that James Tedesco hasn't even looked like anything. Like he didn't even touch the ball last week. So they're scary signs there. And Boyd Cordner is still, he's still looking well below his best. So the Roosters still have a lot of improvement in them.
They do.
Across this side of the ditch, it would have been New Zealand, I would have maybe tipped the Warriors. But over here, I think the Roosters, if they can reproduce that form from last week, I think they should be too strong. But I reckon, game of the round for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Saturday night, we've got Manly taking on Canberra at Lotto Land. Jeez, Canberra. They're the best 70-minute team in the rugby in the NRL. Games of 70 minutes, they'd be leading the comp. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. But Manly are just Manly. What do you say? They won by 51. We get dusted by 30 the week after.
How many times you see that though? I mean, it can happen. I mean, look, to be honest with you, I think Manly, as far as I'm concerned, I wasn't surprised, to be honest. Seen a team come out two weeks in a row and kick major ass doesn't seem to happen very often these days. I think they'll turn it this weekend.
I think Manly were like that last week. They've got points in them and they've got a lot of attacking class. But that's the start is vital. If you get off to a good start, they drop the ball in the first set of six, Souths are able to score. It's that start that can get you on the momentum. Last week they got off to a great start. They flew the start. But you're gonna say that a lot this year, whether the team wins a start, especially with penalties, especially at home as well. If they can, combine all those three factors. Canberra, one thing they should have on their side is they should be desperate. They should be the most desperate team in the world last week. Like Souths and Canterbury were the week before. Souths and Canterbury fought like it was their last game last week.
Absolutely.
I'm expecting the Canberra to come with that same attitude to Brookvale, sort of siege mentality. Because, 5 minutes a here or there, either way, they could be leading the comp. So class is there and they've got the players there. Whether they can produce in 80 minutes, but whether Manly will know that they're coming there trying to hunt them. And I think Manly, I really like Manly this year. I think they're going to win their fair share of games and could sneak in the finals.
Definitely.
Sunday afternoon, the red hot Red V, St George Illawarra.
Another good game.
Versus Newcastle at win. Newcastle, it was their first major test last week against the Roosters. I wouldn't say they failed, but they come up short. It was a good test of where they were.
Yeah.
They're just below. We got a bit excited the first couple of weeks. They're not going to be there, top four or five teams. But again, I expect them to push them for the bottom part of the eight. And this is a big game because St George have been on fire. Gareth Widdop, Ben Hunt, Dufty were on fire last week.
Huge
again,
game.
It's hard to take form out of that game because the Titans have been terrible. So, again, the form line's hard. Newcastle, again, it's whether they can produce backup effort after effort each week for Newcastle. They're going to be good in patches. They've got nine new players in their team. So they'll take some time. They're still a work in progress. I'm really looking forward to this game. What do you reckon?
I am too, mate. I love the Dragons at the moment. I think they're sensational. But they're going to lose a few, obviously. And
they always start like they've started strong the last few years.
And they're doing it again. I mean, but you know what? I just... This could be one of those upsets.
Yeah, you going Newcastle?
I'm going to go the Knights.
I was tossing the coin a little bit as well. I think, I'll go with you. I'm going to stick the Knights because I think St George, while they're good, their style of play is takes its toll on the players. Hard. And they've had to travel a bit from Townsville. They've had a bit of travel around them. I think they're just, they might hit a bit of a flat spot at Wynn, but who knows? Brave men. We have two brave men against the competition leaders. For me, Gareth Widdop, he's just in a league of his own. He's outstanding. He's on fire at the moment, mate. If he can reproduce that form, very hard, but if he can, they'll go a long way this year, St. George. Yeah, I think definitely. They'll be looking good. Queensland Derby on Sunday night, Brisbane versus Gold Coast. Gold Coast have dropped Bryce Cartwright back to the bench. The Broncos lose Corey Oates, defeat of Pangai Jr. I don't know. These two teams are underwhelming to start the season.
Tell me about it, mate.
Broncos are, they should be 1-2. They're luckily 2-1.
Yeah.
I don't know. This game's... I'm going to tip Brisbane at home just because the Gold Coast are going worse than them. But, these two teams have been too disappointing.
I have to agree with you, mate, because I think the Broncos have seriously got a bad case of sway back at the moment. They're just not the same horses that were running around in recent years. But look, honestly, I can't help but look at last week's game. I looked in the dressing sheds after the match and I thought, you cheeky bastards having the audacity to smile after that victory. Yeah. You couldn't cross the line. You weren't good enough. Your attack was crap. Let's be real about it. I just worry about them. I don't see them.
I've got actually three big worries. Darius Boyd looks severely unfit. Hamstring looks unfit.
Absolutely.
Jack Bird, he was his first game last week, but he looked like he'd swallowed a sheep. He was carrying a lot of weight. And Anthony Milford didn't have his usual flair. And then him and Nikarima, I don't know, are they the answer for a powerhouse of Brisbane? They just seem to have a lot more questions than answers at this stage. And they're 2-1, to be fair. They have won two games and they did beat the Cowboys. So we are bagging.
Yeah, but hey, the goalposts beat the Cowboys.
That's
mate.
Right. And the penalty, and they're very close to being 0-3. Between them and Canberra, it could be completely different. So
it's a fine line, mate.
The Titans, a lot falls back on Ash Taylor. I think he's for someone so young. A lot falls on his shoulders. They move Wallace and James back to the front. Like, you look at their front row, they've got a really good front row.
Yeah.
Kevin Proctor hasn't been the same player since he left Melbourne. Their back row hasn't been the same player. LG is struggling defensively. I reckon Bryce Cartwright will shift back to 5'8 eventually long term.
Yeah.
To me, they just don't have the catalytic. A lot revolves around Ash Taylor. They'll win a few games this year, but can't see them being.
This will be insane. What I've just said, I think this will be the week that Brisbane run away with about 8 tries.
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can.
It'll probably play them into a bit of form.
Potentially, I'm tipping Brisbane. I'll tip Brisbane well. The last game of the round, traditional Easter Monday clash, West Tigers versus Parramatta. At ANZ Stadium. Wow, the Tigers. What can you say about the Tigers? They've conceded 2 tries in 3 games.
That's right.
2 wins. They were very close to winning a third. I don't know. This game in Parramatta, geez. This game has got... It could either be 3-2 this game or 44-30. This game's got the potential to have 1 try in it, potentially, like last game.
I'm going to say 1-0 Tigers.
1-0. I was thinking 3-2 all field goals. Potentially, I don't know, the West Tigers have found that defence element. They need to find something with their attack. Short term, it's great. They're playing really well, but they need to find something with their attack. Benji's under an injury cloud. Jacob Little's been named an extended bench. He's their long-term hooker, which will help them with their attack. The Parramatta, they've got a host of changes. Bevan French and Jarrett Hayne are both out.
Yeah.
The T-Rex is back on the bench. I don't know if he's got any magic left in him. And Kayser Pritchard starts at hooker. A lot of changes for the Eels, a lot of question marks over Parramatta. They're going to be on a long turnaround, which will help them, because they need some soul searching after 3 rounds.
I was going to say, they could do with a month-long sabbatical, I think, Chris.
They've just missed the kick to start the season. They have genuinely just missed the kick.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I can't go past the Tigers, mate. I think the Eels just... Look, it'd be easy to write them off completely at this point. You can't do that, obviously, but... Mate, the loss of French, the loss of Hayne, and again, as you say, numerous, too many changes at the moment. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough for them.
And if they go into the game thinking they can blow them off the park, it's not going to. We've seen it. If Melbourne can't blow them off the park, if the Roosters can't blow them off the park, they're not going to blow them off the park. This, so,
I think you'll find after last week, mate, the devastation in the Tigers camp from last week, mate, that's going to serve as catalyst for let's get it done.
Yeah,
let's get some tries going in that first half.
We've said it a couple of times already. A few asset tests this week, and this is another one for both teams. The West Tigers, if they have any hopes of contending, they need to win games like
this is the one.
This is the game they have to win if they want to be top eight. This is the one. The eight, because they're playing a struggling Parramatta team. Whereas on the other hand, Parramatta, if they want to have, they were top four last year. They're falling out like so far from grace. If they start the season 0-4, it is a long, long way back.
Absolutely,
it's almost getting to that stage where you kiss the top four goodbye already, and then the top eight a couple more games, because you look at their team, they've got the players there. They've got Norman and Moses really need to step up this week. But having said that, it comes down to their middle forwards. Their forwards are not producing. And Russell Packer and Ben Matalino will fancy their chances against Alvaro and Mena to run straight through them. And that's where teams are just finding their weakness. So I think that those guys, Alvaro, Mena, Nathan Brown, that's a big task on them, because if they can hold the Tigers forwards,
Make all the difference,
and they'll probably have the points in the end. But you probably only need two or three tries to beat the Tigers at this one or two. But
the thing is, though, you can't dismiss. And again, just the same with the Warriors. You look at that start the Tigers had, mate. Yeah. The teams that they've held, the teams they've beaten, mate. To be honest with you,
on form, it's the Tigers. The Tigers should win this game.
This is the game. The Tigers should actually extend their arm and actually, get some for and against points.
I'm hoping so. I'm a big fan of the Tigers, big fan of Parramatta too. I'm tipping Parramatta just because I think they're too good of a team to go 0-4. And I think they'll have that.
Yeah.
They'll be desperate, and they'll come out and they'll do some soul searching. I think they'll get the win. Because if they don't, they'll be a long way behind. Because we'll talk about. I really want to talk about St. George to start the season, because if they're 3-0. They had a new halfback come to the club. Dufty only went just fullback the last couple of rounds last year.
Yep.
Completely new spine. And they've come out this season and they're playing like the premiership favourites.
Well, I mean, you know what? They're absolutely, I mean, they're solid. They're a solid. You can tell the players are playing for each other as far as I'm concerned. And one thing that's sort of struck me in recent years with the Dragons, they get a couple of points down and you can almost sense the descent amongst them in the ranks.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, man, but to be honest with you, just as we've seen with the Warriors, they've really gelled as a unit this year.
It's funny how teams can just gel. Like some teams are, off the mark, you take a few weeks. They just seem like Ben Hunt, James Graham, seems like they've been playing there for years. And they seem like they've got players like Nene McDonald, Lafay, like all those guys, Cameron McInnes, Paul Vaughan, they all seem to be like very good players, not like exceptionally great players.
That's right.
But they're all playing to the best of their ability and consistently to start the season. And teams, as we see, there's been a fair few teams that haven't started well. They've just started really well, or they're all playing to their potential. And they've got, between Widdop, Hunt, and Dufty, they've got points in them. They've got some points in them.
Mate, you said it before. I mean, Widdop from last week was just phenomenal. I mean, he had the ball on a string, mate. I mean, there were a couple of the tries there from the kicks that were just fantastic. I mean, one of them actually, to be honest with you, is you'd already put for the early forerunner for try of the season.
Yeah,
mate,
absolutely.
It's sensational. But to see that sort of confidence as well is must be fantastic for the Dragons fans. I mean,
yeah, you can see the teams that are playing with confidence and the team that are playing without confidence, and how big of a difference it makes. Because you look at the Parramatta team and you look at the St. George team, and then I will touch on a team in a minute, but the Raiders, but teams that are with confidence, without confidence, it's a difference between the competition so tight that if you don't have confidence, if you don't think that you're going to win, and you're playing, you have a few drop balls, a few penalties go against you, it can easily go from, hero to zero very quickly.
Absolutely, mate. But I mean, even despite, saying that we both tipped the Knights this week, but the Dragons, to me at the moment, seem like the team, it doesn't matter where you send them, they're going to put in a bloody good performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see them going down to Melbourne and kicking them at the moment. It's that kind of team.
The pressure, the test for them is going to come, rounds 10, 12, 14, 16.
Oh, definitely.
Because they've struggled under Paul McGregor to keep that form going. So they've been a really good 1-8, round 1-8 team-ish. But after in that Origin period, they shouldn't be too affected by Origin. Paul Vaughan might get a call-up. Tyson Brazel will obviously be there. But they should be largely unaffected by Origin. So that's another plus for them. And they should really make a move over
Origin. I was going to say, mate, Tyson Brazel, I don't think you can underestimate how much of a... an asset he is to that team. As far as I'm concerned, mate, he's one of the he is their main man. I love him.
His charges are just, they get him on the front foot, and he's. I think they actually use him. I reckon I'd like to see him used as an impact player, more like maybe two. I think he's been playing 80 minutes. I think I'd love him to play like a 30-minute spell at the start, and then another 30 or something, just because he's so dynamic, and you don't want to lose that dynamicness. Yeah. We talked about him before. Luciano Leilua, an edge back rower.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to see him slot in and like switch those two and just say go hard.
What a unit, though, mate. I've noticed him, mate. Yeah, he comes up to that line, and the buggers, they're flying off him.
And you combine him with Leeson Alma, which is probably the most underrated forward in the game.
Sure.
They've got a really good rotation of forwards, and that just, you know, and you throw in James Graham, Paul Vaughan, and these experienced guys that are leading them around. And, you know, I think the Dragons may be at the bottom part of my eight, but, you know, seriously considering them in the top four if they can continue this form.
Do you know what I think's actually changed their form, Chris? DeBellin's not wearing his hair ridiculously stupid anymore. I think that's a big, you can't underestimate the
man bun. Yeah, I think the man bun's gone. I think it's gone. Well, he's another one could be sneaky for Origin, because he's
playing well.
The only problem with him is he's up against Jake Trbojevic in that role, and I think Jake Trbojevic is, you know, hands and heels above every player so far to start the season. So I think he might struggle to get into that net, whether they pick two of those type of players, where he's in that type of mold. But I think he's been outstanding. He'll be on the edge fringe of that again.
Yeah, definitely.
On the flip side, we talk. You've got a team that's flying high, 3-0. You know, hasn't looked like losing. Whereas in the Raiders, they haven't looked like losing up until the 70th minute of every one of those of their games, or maybe a bit earlier in a couple of them. But on the weekend, leading by 7 with under, in the final 10, and to lose in normal time, you could probably, I don't know, very rare, would never happen again. Or
you'd want to hope not.
You can see 2 field goals in the last 3 minutes. What's wrong with Canberra, mate? How do you fix it? How do you fix the problem?
Chris, I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't know where to start with them.
I think,
what is it? Is it attitude? Are they falling asleep?
Is it in the head? Is it between the ears?
I don't know.
I think it could be a mental thing, because it's got to that point now where it's just, they've lost that many close games. Well, I think it was something like 8 games last year they lost by under 6 points, and again so far they've got 3 more. I don't know. For me, it's their halves.
That's what I was going to say. Have they got the roster, Chris?
Caesar and Sam Williams and Blake Austin. Between those three, I don't think they don't have. To me, I didn't have them in my 8.
No.
And just for that reason, I don't think their halves have the quality in them. They don't have a quality halfback.
Mm.
We've seen how much a quality halves can make a change. You know, Luke Keering, Cooper Cronk at the Roosters.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think they have the quality in the halves. And their backline is up there with the best backline in the comp. You look at 1-5, I think that would match up with any back 5 in the comp. Forward wise, you know, guys like Shannon Boyd, Junior Paulo, Papali, Whitehead, strong pack of forwards.
Yeah, big men.
Big men. They're lacking the polish. They are lacking the polish. The acid test, it's all on their halves. Pressure is mounting on 6 and 7. Blake Austin's not even in the 17 this week. Rumors he's on the way out. They need to buy top of, and it's weird because Ricky Short's their coach, you know, one of the great halfbacks in the modern era.
This is the mystery. I mean, how does that
work? It's a mystery that they, you know, he hasn't been able to, one, develop these guys, you know, their kicking game to finish the game, and number two, he hasn't been able to attract a quality halfback to the club. To me, they're missing a quality halfback. There's not that many quality halves running around, but
no.
Their focus solely needs to be on a halfback in the coming for next year and beyond.
But I mean, as you say, you can't just click your fingers and have one now.
They need to find a way.
So what do we expect? I mean, is it going to be much of the muchness for them?
Without Josh Hodgson there at hooker as well, they're missing. So they're down. I would say that they've got Caesar's been playing all right. Sam, as I said, they're okay players. Yep. They're not to bag them, but you look at the other rosters and pretty much every team's got a quality halfback, or one of the two. They've sort of got 5 out of 10 players, both positions. It's showing. And without Hodgson, who is a premier hooker, it just, you know, it's been found out that they haven't been able to close that game. So Hodgson's not due back till, you know, June, July at earliest, and he's coming off an ACL. So, you know, he'll take a few weeks to get going. Their season might be over by then.
Yeah.
It could be all done and dusted. Big game for them at against Manly. As we saw what happened to Parramatta, if you don't start well against, the thing is that they start well.
this is the
they start well
the only saving admit. Grace.
So yeah. It's, you know, if they get off to a good start, can they hold on? It's going to be funny because if they get up, if they're leading inside the final 10 by 2 or 4 or even 6 or 8, whether they can hold on, it's a big test for
them. As you said that, Chris, I mean, a 70-minute team, but if that's the case, it's got to be attitudinal. It's got to be – there's something in there that's lacking. There's something.
Last week I thought it was the game. It's impossible. It was harder to lose that game than not – you know, it was very –
But as you say, I mean, a coach these – especially one like Ricky, to not prime your team up to be an 80-minute side.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing. You're leading. Like, how's that possible? It's so fun. Yeah, you're playing from in front. You're at home against the Warriors.
We all know nothing's given these days. I think both our sides proved that when we came back. What was it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I remember. It was a few years ago, but it still haunts me.
If that didn't prove that no lead was safe in this modern competition.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Nothing does. Teams know that. And everyone knows that. And you've got the momentum. And I don't know. For me, Canberra just haven't. Those close games was the difference with them missing the finals last year. They're one or two games out.
I think they would have learned that.
You would have think the whole off-season would have been geared to 80 minutes play there. Absolutely. You know, it's not like this is the one. It's been happening for a year now. So things need to change. I think there needs to be change. As I said, they need to maybe go mid-season, try and find a halfback. Something's not working there. I don't know. For me, I'm interested to see. There's a lot of interesting games this week. Teams under the pump. Canberra number one, Parramatta number two, Gold Coast number three. They're probably the top three. Yeah. Cronulla number four, and Brisbane. There's a lot of teams. Yeah, a lot of questions.
There are.
And besides, you look at Melbourne, who have started sort of under the radar, two. They've lost one, but they seem to be up. And St George, the Roosters and the Warriors, they're the teams that are sort of at the right end. But it'd be very interesting to see what's going to happen this week. It's a big round. Starts tomorrow night. We're recording this on a Wednesday, so it starts tomorrow night on Thursday, goes all the way to Monday. Matt, thank you for joining me this week. It's been another big show.
Thank you, sir.
Plenty of questions. Enjoy the footy, guys. Enjoy Easter, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See you, guys.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.